A rainy Saturday morning at Clark Atlanta University, you are listening to WCLK, the radio voice of Clark Atlanta University. We're celebrating our 40th year on the air this year. We went on the air in April 1974. We are currently in our spring membership campaign. You might have heard about that. We're going to sort of soft solicit you to contribute to WCLK this morning. If you listen to public affairs and you like the groups that you hear covered on these programs, feel free to go to WCLK.com and make your pledge online. It's quick and it's easy. Let them know that you appreciate the community news you get on the radio station. And you just heard Jamal Ahmed talking about a new program here on WCLK, The Call to True Beauty. It's going to be a talk program dealing in issues of domestic and dating violence. And we're joined right now, fresh off the rainy streets of Atlanta, by the host of our new program, Daphne Walker. Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Rob. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm dry. That's a good thing. It's kind of mucky out there this morning.
Yes, it is.
Well, the Call to True Beauty is the program. Verizon Wireless is very committed to the issues regarding domestic violence, as are you. You're a former judge who's had cases like this in front of you that you've had to decide in court, and you've moved on from that, and you are now the president and CEO of the Partnership Against Domestic Violence, one of Atlanta's major community-related organizations in dealing in a very difficult subject. What drew you to this kind of thing?
You know, actually, Rob, I've been working in the area of domestic violence for about 15 years during my legal career. And somehow, no matter where I went in my legal career, somehow domestic violence always seemed to come up. So I started out as a domestic violence prosecutor here in Fulton County, and had the opportunity to work in the Crimes Against Women and Children unit in Paul Howard's office. And at that time, really developed a really close connection to women who were impacted by domestic violence. And when I left that office and went into private practice, I took it upon myself to represent a number of them free of charge on domestic violence-related issues and also domestic issues. And then when I ran for office in 2004, I also had the opportunity to hear domestic violence cases on a daily basis with people who were coming in for temporary protective orders. So in my 15-year legal career, it just always seemed to follow me. And when I found out that the Partnership Against Domestic Violence had an opening last September, I really took a look at what I wanted to commit the next 10 years of my life or so to, still working in the area of domestic violence, but from a different angle. And now where I'm really focused more on services that we can provide to women and children and also men who are impacted by domestic violence.
Well, in conjunction with Verizon Wireless, our general manager, Wendy Williams, and, of course, the strategic communications director for Clark Atlanta, Donna Brock, they are all working together with you to put this program on the air. And the Call to True Beauty is the name of the show. It'll air the first Wednesday of each month at 6 p.m., and the first one is this coming Wednesday, and it's going to feature a special guest, Jessica Bibbin.
Jennifer.
Excuse me. I don't know why I've got Jessica on the brain.
It's too early in the morning, Rob.
It is. Jennifer Bivens, president and CEO of the Georgia Network to End Sexual Assault. Could you talk a little bit about your vision for what this show is going to offer the community? And also, Jennifer Bivens, now that I got her name right, kind of what she's going to be leading as far as the discussion goes on Wednesday.
Well, what we know that this show will offer the community is the opportunity to really talk about an issue that most people don't like talking about. Because a lot of times people say, you know what, it's not my business that somebody is involved in a domestic violence relationship, and we try to stay out of that relationship. But what we want to encourage people to realize is it's really everyone's business. And we'll talk a lot about how domestic violence impacts you, even if you're not in that relationship. And so what Jennifer will bring to the table, if you will, on Wednesday is a really clear conversation about myths associated with sexual assault, because a lot of times people think that if you're in a dating relationship that you can't be sexually assaulted. So we'll talk about some of those myths and how that also translates into domestic violence. But it's really a great opportunity for a unique partnership to come together here with us at WCLK and the Partnership Against Domestic Violence, also known as PADV. And Verizon, because we recognize the importance of educating the community on this important issue and helping them to understand how you're connected to it. We know that 1 in 4 women will be a victim of domestic violence, 1 in 7 men. And so I tell everybody, if you're sitting in a room and there are 5 people in there and there are 5 of those people are women, one of them has been impacted. If there's 7 people in the room and 7 of them are men, one of them has been impacted. So when people say they don't know about it or they're not connected to it, we're going to bring some really informative discussions to the fact that you are impacted, and how you can be involved in ensuring that domestic violence doesn't continue.
And Daphne, you just said a loaded word, myth. Mm-hmm. There's so many myths that we seem to be comfortable living with rather than taking them down. And when you mentioned just now the myth of sexual assault not able to occur in a dating relationship or a marriage, I honestly thought we'd move past that myth some years ago. We do recognize that women have the right to say no about what's going to happen to their body, no matter what the relationship that they're in, correct?
That's correct. And a lot of times when we start to poll people about that very topic, they'll say, well, wait a minute, that person's married. So there should be an obligation for that person to engage in sexual conduct with their partner because they're married. And so what we want to do is really educate the public on that issue to say, wait a minute, everyone, every woman has the right to say, you know what, I'm not interested. And that has to be respected.
I have a headache. Isn't that the old joke? It just amazes me that, as you said, that there are people still thinking that women are obligated to submit in a relationship or a marriage, even if they don't want to do something.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, but I think that what really helps is this partnership with WCLK, where we'll be able to really talk very specifically about the issues and also get feedback from individuals about what they're feeling, to get a pulse on the community, and also to educate the community on what we know the law to be in a lot of different areas, and also the expectations of women in relationships. So it's really an opportunity for us to build our community in the area of healthy relationships.
And one of the things I want to add about the call to True Beauty, and again, this will be Wednesday at 6 p.m., is we will take phone calls. We
Yes.
will be asking people who have struggled through these issues, maybe have made it through to the other side of something like this, to talk about their experiences, or people that might be in the middle of it. And we're not just going to take their calls and put them on the air so that we've got compelling radio. We are going to have a crisis person, crisis counselor on hand at WCLK, so that if we get a caller that is in a dangerous situation, we're going to have the resources there during the show off the air to talk to them and help them with that. And I think, you know, that's a degree of that's a degree of care that you're not going to see on the commercial side of the dial, and that's what makes this a good fit for WCLK and what we do as a public radio station.
And we're really glad that WCLK understands the importance of that, because a lot of times we have people that do self-identify with sexual assault or self-identify with domestic violence, but if we don't put them in touch with resources, that person never gets healed from that experience. And so we do think it's important that we're going to be given the opportunity to provide those services to the community as well. And, you know, if in fact they call in and they need to be connected immediately to an agency, that's going to be our first objective. And I'm glad that we'll be screening those calls to make sure that we're really putting people in touch with resources and not just scanning information.
You know, I'm curious about this, and Kipling, you can feel free to jump in, because I know you will. But when you say, you know, it's 2014, don't we know this? Aren't we past all this? We, and in particular younger people, are bombarded every day in popular cultures with messages that objectify women and make light of situations that to the woman involved might be traumatic.
And not only do we objectify women, it's beginning to objectify men, where you've got to, you know, meet this requirement of being a man, and a man has to be, you know, strong and has to be the bully or the protector. And for me, I thought the women's movement had kind of pushed us past those things. And it was freeing, not just for women, but for men too, because then men didn't have to be that archetype alpha male bully. You know, they could be who they were. And so I think, as you mentioned, domestic violence impacts us in a lot of different ways, not just the woman and not just the men that are in the relationship, but it impacts our whole community.
It really does, Kipling. What we like to really talk about at PADV, the Partnership Against Domestic Violence, is that it does impact you. If you're working in WCOK, for example, and somebody is a victim of domestic violence and the perpetrator decides to come to WCOK and attack that person or do something violent towards that person, if you're sitting in a desk next to them, then it certainly becomes your business at that point because you're right in the middle and in the heat of what's going on. And so that's what we try to remind people, that there are these myths out there about it doesn't impact me, I'm not involved, I can't be a part of this, but you really are involved. And what we want to do is to really encourage people on what it is that you do if you find out someone has been the victim of domestic violence or sexual assault, and making sure that we give good information to the public when responding to those crises.
We're talking this morning on the WCLK Public Affairs Block with Daphne Walker. She is president and CEO of the Partnership Against Domestic Violence, and she is a former judge. And she's the host of a brand new program coming up on WCLK. The first program airs this Wednesday. It'll air on the first Wednesdays each month, called The Call to True Beauty. And it'll be a live interactive talk show talking about the issues surrounding domestic violence and dating violence. Daphne, you know, we introduced you as a former judge, as a president and CEO. Could you talk a little bit maybe about your life's journey before that, you know, where you grew up and what brought you to the point and age and demographic where you feel compelled to try and make a difference in your community?
Well, I tell you, Rob, it started with two great parents that I'm fortunate enough to still have in my life. And I grew up in a very small town, Fort Valley, Georgia, which is about 100 miles south of Atlanta.
Peach County.
So if you've had a Georgia peach at all, you're very familiar with where I grew up. And I really had a good opportunity to grow up in a very small community where people were committed to public issues. My father is also an elected life. I'm in Fort Valley as well. And so we've always been committed to the public and making sure that we're doing things in the community that make a difference. And so when you talk about the root of that, that's primarily where it came from. And I always tell people that my dad was and my mom were actually involved in giving domestic violence victims shelter when domestic violence wasn't cool. Because when I was growing up, my parents had rental apartments, and my parents would always tell women, you don't have to stay in this situation. We'll give you an apartment for free. You can get out of this relationship. And I was telling everybody I was doing domestic violence shelter work, but I didn't realize I was doing domestic violence shelter work.
Before it was called domestic violence.
Right.
It was just, oh, that house over there.
Right.
Avoid going over there at night because it gets loud. And everyone in the community knew
of
what
course.
Was going on.
Of course. And, you know, I think that foundation, when you talk about that, Rob, is important because I saw my parents save people, you know, and I saw them really try to impact people's lives. And so when I started to do this work, it came natural to me because I knew that women were not supposed to be in those types of relationships. And to your point, Kipling, about what men should be, my father gave me a really good example of domestic violence is not okay. You know, you're not supposed to physically assault women. You're not supposed to do that. And that the community does have to step in when that is happening to a woman and say, wait a minute, we're not going to accept this and we're going to put that person in a position to be self-sufficient.
Now, can you imagine if men in our community embraced that message and said to other men, you're not supposed to do this? And it is not just women. You really are not supposed to physically assault other people.
It's just that basic thing of, you know, don't hit me, I won't hit you.
You
know, well, but people don't always grasp that.
I have a teenage daughter and I'm raising her not to take any grief off of anybody that for any reason. And when we see these horrible stories in the paper and she's incredulous, how could somebody do that? But a lot of this is learned behavior. An abuser grew up around abuse in most cases, didn't they? So this is like breaking a cycle.
It is, Rob. And one of the things I think is important about our partnership with WCLK and Verizon and PADV, the Partnership Against Domestic Violence, is that we're giving the public an opportunity to see that from different perspectives. And one of the things we will talk about is the teen dating violence aspect of things. And at PADV, we do have a teen dating violence initiative where we go out to talk to middle schoolers and high schoolers as a part of a six-week curriculum to really educate them on DV issues. And we know that if we don't educate that population, they will grow up, if they've been exposed to domestic violence statistically, it says that they will grow up to become batterers or to become victims of domestic violence. And so you're right, it's really important for us to make sure we're having a very effective communication with those teenagers and middle schoolers even, to get them to understand the importance of not being in an unhealthy relationship.
Daphne, I'm so glad you brought up youth, because I can understand there where we need more education. Because again, young ladies get into relationships, young men get into relationships, they think they're supposed to be a certain way, so they're that way whether they're comfortable being that way or not. But I think it's on us, as you're saying, at reaching out to young people to let them know that a relationship, love is not supposed to hurt. It's mm-hmm. not supposed to be scary. It's not supposed to be frightening. If you're not feeling pampered or taken care of, then this is not a good relationship. But again, we get caught in these scenarios that you see on TV and on radio where people are saying, well, if he doesn't really, you know, like you, or, you know, he doesn't really like you because he's not trying to keep you and not trying to stop you from doing things. That's not love. How did we get to that kind of concept?
You know, I think it was a number of things, especially the import of technology. Rob asked where I grew up. In Fort Valley, I remember having a bag cell phone when I was 16 just for emergencies. And so now we're in a society where everybody has a smartphone, everybody has access to technology. And to your point about that, the objectification of women, the easy ability to say, where are you? What are you doing? Why aren't you here yet? Has really increased that possessiveness that sometimes comes out of relationships that's not healthy. And so I know that one of the things we really had to target with teens is that technology piece. Because if they're sending you 400 text messages a day, that's not, I love you. That's really somebody who's in a stalking situation. And we've also been faced with the sex texting side of it. Because when we grew up, you took a picture, you had to take it somewhere to get it developed. And then once you get it developed, you show that picture to somebody and that's the end of it.
But you've got it in your hand.
Now they snap a picture and everybody has it, Kipling. You know, everybody has it in a matter of minutes. And so it's just a very different approach to us looking at how do you protect yourself, not just from sexual assaults or those physical attacks, but also how you just protect your reputation, your image, and what they're able to send out into the community fairly quickly.
Daphne, I am looking forward to your show. On the first Wednesday of every month, starting April 2nd at 6 p.m.,
yeah,
April, A Call to True Beauty.
A Call to True Beauty. I think if you're listening this morning, you can hear just some of the very many different kinds of issues that this program is going to bring up. Everything from social media to the judicial system and everything in between. And this is going to be a safe place for people to talk about these issues and deliver some solutions about them. Daphne Walker, thank you so much for getting up on a rainy Saturday and coming in and talking to us about the new show, and I certainly look forward to hearing it on Wednesday.
I'm looking forward to it as well, and I am also glad that Kipling was able to join us so that we could talk about some really important issues this morning, Rob, and I'm also excited about the public's commitment to this program, because I know that it's not going to be effective for us if the public doesn't commit to it and call in and give us their feedback as well. And our ultimate goal is to have that public connection, to make sure that we're getting information to the public, but also that we're getting feedback from the public on this very important issue.
Well, it's Wednesday at 6 p.m., The Call to True Beauty. Daphne Walker will be your host. Kipling?
I was just going to say a reminder that this is engagement and outreach. We've said over and over that this will be a safe space and that there will be counselors on hand if you call in and you're in a situation that requires it.
Daphne Walker, thank you so much.
Thank you.